Let's turn to Joel 2. And then we're going to be turning to Acts 2. After Brother Brooks got up here and opened the service, I thought, my Lord, do I even need to preach today? Yeah. He preached a lot of my sermons, so I thought I might just give an altar call. But from the get-go, it's been powerful today, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Joel 2:28, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." It shall come to pass afterward that I will, somebody say, I will, pour out my spirit. That's a promise from God. And when he makes a promise, he keeps his promises. Acts 2, starting at verse 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place." I think we're in unity today, and we're all in one place. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." See, they must not have experienced this. It's hard to sit when a move of the Holy Ghost is coming. Where they were sitting. "And it appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all," somebody shout, all, "filled with the Holy Ghost." Nobody was left out. "They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Jump to verse 16 and 17. It says, "But this is that." Somebody say, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." This is that. This is that. For a few moments, I want to speak on this topic, the unceasing flow of Pentecost.
Yeah.
And then my second title, of course, is simply this: this is that. What you just felt in here is that. What you've experienced is that. What some of you in this room are going to experience at the end of this message is that. It's what we're talking about. It's what we're preaching about. It's what we've been singing about all morning. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. It's the fire that fell from heaven. It fell in this place today, and it's fallen. It's here right now. I'm thankful to know that God's Spirit is here. I'm thankful to know that he is here in this place. I'm thankful to know the Holy Ghost didn't shut off after it fell in the book of Acts, but it's still alive and active today. It's not going to stop. The promise is it's going to be poured out today upon all flesh in this place. If you're thankful for that, won't you put your hands together and magnify him in this place as you're seated. If you look at the Old Testament, ancient history, look throughout human history, throughout all of civilization, you will find one cry above all other cries. It is a cry of emptiness. I don't know about you, but if you've been working outside and you're hot, or dancing, shouting, and it's hot, I would be crying right now if this cup did not have water in it and it was empty. Thank God. Thank God for Logan, who puts water in that every Sunday. Thank you. But there's a cry of emptiness. A cry of there has to be something more than this. It's why the pharaohs built the pyramids and took treasure into the pyramids that we dug up centuries later. That there has to be something more than this. It's why in every society there is a reach for something better, a desperate reach for something more. Something, it's got to be something good. That sometimes it's a good thing when there's emptiness. It drives us to achieve.
when something is lacking, when you need something done and what you need is not there, it's good to say in that midst of emptiness, I have to think of something in order to make it happen. I don't know, probably most of it in this room today, this younger generation, I've noticed that they don't get this, to think outside of the box, to fix things and make things happen. I think it's because my generation grew up with MacGyver. All you kiddos need to go back and watch reruns of MacGyver. Because a lot of times y'all just check out and say, I don't know, Google doesn't have the answer, I don't know what I'm going to do. But sometimes that emptiness of not having the answer, it'll make you achieve things that you didn't think you could ever achieve.
Truth.
It gives us the drive to conquer. It drives us to invent things. It's a good thing in many ways, but there's one way that it is a horrible thing, and it's not good no matter how you look at it. And this one way is a spiritual emptiness. It is something that has existed throughout all of human history, and it still exists today. And if you don't believe me, then look at the statistics today in the world we're living in for suicide and human crime and violence and abuse, a list of family issues and murder and riots. Take a look at the list, and you'll find out real quick that there's still a huge void in all of humanity. Ecclesiastes 1 and 2 reads this. It says, vanity of all vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What's Solomon saying here? He's saying it's all vanity. It's all emptiness. The things of this world cannot fulfill the emptiness inside of you. That it frustrates me and maybe you when I can work for a lifetime, but yet a lot of us still have so little to show for it. It frustrates me that we can work so hard to reach our dreams and to achieve great things. And in the end, it's not what we thought it would be. There's still a void. That's why you have millionaires out there that thought that's what they were going to get to and life would be just grand. But yet they find themselves with all the toys and all the money they could ever want. But there's still something missing in their life. There's an emptiness inside of them. There will always be an emptiness. Why? Because all of this on earth is just vanity. Job says, I get you, Solomon. I get what you're saying. I wish I could just find God. I wish I could just walk up to his throne and access him because I feel so empty. And I feel so distant from him. I feel so far from God. Solomon, I get you what you're saying. And it wasn't just Job and Solomon, but there was a cry of emptiness all throughout the Old Testament. About two-thirds of the Bible, there was a cry of emptiness and a cry of longing to be closer to God. But I stand here today on this day, this Pentecost Sunday, to tell somebody in this room that even in the Old Testament, before there was ever a Pentecost, that God was preparing a better way. He was preparing his people not only to be touched by his Spirit or to be led by his Spirit, or to be moved by his Spirit, or just guided by his Spirit, or to be blessed by his Spirit. But God, somebody shout, but God. But God, he was preparing something greater than our human mind can hardly comprehend. Something greater than this flesh that we deal with all the time. To be guided and led and blessed by his Spirit. But God was preparing something much greater that you and I and all of mankind. It was to be filled with his Spirit. Not just to be led by his Spirit or to be guided by his Spirit or blessed every once in a while by his Spirit. But God said, I'm going to make a way where you can actually be filled with my Spirit. It will consume you. It'll fill you up overflowing. That's what God's plan was. And that's the only thing that will ever fill that void. Something that will draw you out of loneliness. Something that will draw you out of depression. Something that will change your life and change your eternity forever. This I'm talking about is that. It's the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like it. And guess what? It's for you and it's for me. It's for today. And until the trumpet sounds, the promise is going to be there that he's going to keep pouring it out. What we need to understand this morning is emptiness was God's plan all along. Yeah. You say, hold up, Pastor. What? I thought you said emptiness wasn't a good thing. I thought you said emptiness was a bad thing. Well, in some situations it could be, but it was God's plan all along. You see, your emptiness is a bad thing. My emptiness is a bad thing. The world's emptiness is a bad thing. Man's emptiness is a bad thing. But God's emptiness is different. Psalms 33 and 9. This is the difference between what you can do with emptiness and what God can do with emptiness. It says, for he spoke and it came into being. He commanded and it came into existence. Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Understand, our God specializes in emptiness. He understands that emptiness always requires an outpouring. At the end of this service today, this water's probably going to be gone. That means, Logan, next week, it's going to require you to actually come get the cup and make effort to go put something back into it. So while I'm preaching, I can be refreshed and keep going. But I'm telling you right now, the emptiness is what requires you to do it. Emptiness is not a bad thing when God's involved. Because when God says, I see an empty vessel, that means I got a place for an outpouring. I've got a place to pour out my spirit. God's looking for an empty vessel this morning. Why? Because the promise is still alive that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Let me work on emptying this for you. You're set for next Sunday. Oh, tonight, make sure Pastor Keller's going to need that. He's going to need that. Empty wine pots at a wedding. Jesus hadn't performed a miracle yet, but his mama said, they need you. He said, woman, and that was no disrespect to his mama. He was actually honoring her by saying that. Study it out. He said, woman, it's not my time. She turns around, looks at the people with the empty pots, and she said, do whatever he tells you. That was mama's way of saying, it's your time. So kiddos, if Jesus obeyed his mama, I might preach Mother's Day next year. That'd be my title right there. If Jesus obeyed his mama, he said, fill it up with water to the brim. He said, I don't want to, if my name's going to be in this, I don't want to be lacking anything. That's why he'll never fill you up halfway. But when you make yourself available, as they made the pots available, he said, I will bring you to the brim. And when you get moving around, I promise you there's going to be some overflow. And those that you walk around, they're going to splash over on them and they're going to feel the effects of it too. He said, fill it up. And then he turns then to sweet wine for the wedding. And then you move forward and you see an empty body left lifeless laying in a tomb. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, Mary Martha said, you're late. If you'd have been here 4 days ago. But Jesus says, oh no, you don't understand. When I show up, I'm right on time because I see an empty vessel laying in there. Life has been sucked out of him. But when I show up on the scene, I see an empty vessel that needs pouring out. I see an outpouring of life back into him. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Step back into life. We see the Virgin Mary's empty womb, but we also see the Spirit moves over her. And the baby Jesus is formed in her womb and he is born. And then 33 and a half years later, we find an empty cross, which once held the greatest sacrifice ever given. And then we find that they emptied him of life. And he takes that last breath and says, "It is finished." What's finished? His plan. The reason he came. The emptiness. He said, "Empty my body out. Because when I'm emptied out, life begins to flow. Life is flowing. Life is flowing." They placed him in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, the tomb was now empty again. They take an empty body and lay it in an empty borrowed tomb. And then they come back to find that the tomb is empty. I'm thankful to know that my God is not laying in a borrowed tomb still this morning. But there's an empty tomb. You see, before the coming of Christ, Pentecost was a joyful Jewish festival celebrating the wheat harvest 50 days after the first fruits offering. It is also celebrated the day that Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. But the Old Covenant version of this holiday was just a foreshadowing of the great spiritual and gathering that occurred after the dramatic outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that first followers of Jesus. This time, the law of God wasn't engraved on tablets of stone, but it was inscribed on the hearts of men by God's Spirit. This time, 3,000 people didn't die because they reached out to touch the sacred mountain, but 3,000 people lived because God's Spirit reached out and touched them. Pentecost, it was heaven's inauguration ceremony for the church, complete with the rushing wind, flames of fire, and the astounding display of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. In that moment, the men and women gathered in the upper room were visibly endued with spiritual power when the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And 3,000 people were converted in response to Peter's preaching. What happened on Pentecost is the defining pattern for God's church then and now. That's why it didn't stop then. It wasn't just for them, but God said, "It's for this church, and I'm birthing it here, and you're going to take this, and you're going to spread the good news, and you're going to let everybody know that it's for them. It's not just for one little upper room. It's not just for one city." He said, "But go preach this. Take it everywhere you can and tell everybody, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Acts 2. 12 through 18. It says, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, 'What meaneth this?'" And the people, the onlookers, they're thinking, what is happening right now? It says, "And others mockingly said, 'These men are full of new wine. Y'all are drunk. Y'all lost your minds.'" You see, some people are amazed by the move of the Holy Ghost. Some people are a little scared of the move of the Holy Ghost. Some people still to this day are a little mocking of it, and they don't think it's real. Not much has changed. If there's no power, and you're this, and you're that, I'm a little concerned. But I'm here to tell you this morning, what you've experienced this morning in this place, this is that. The same thing they experienced that day is that you're experiencing today. This is the outpouring. What you are seeking, or maybe what you were seeking before you found this, or maybe you're here today seeking it out. What you're seeking is what Joel prophesied. If there's an emptiness inside of you this morning, a void, you're seeking out something to fill it, then you are seeking out what Joel prophesied. Joel just said that God's Spirit would be poured out. But I want to point out, he never mentioned about speaking in tongues. It was Peter who connected the dots from Joel's prophecy to Isaiah's prophecy. Let's look at it real quick. Joel 2, 28 and 29 again. It says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Right? Joel prophesies this. He says, it shall come to pass. It's going to come to pass that his spirit's going to be poured out upon all flesh. And then you jump to Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. It says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith that ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So, and this is why I'm excited to tell you the scripture that's already been spoken this morning. This is why this message was given to Peter to preach on that day when he got up and said in Acts 2, 38 and 39, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How can he say ye shall with such confidence? Because Joel said it shall come to pass. It's going to happen. And Isaiah said with stammering lips and another tongue. He said, listen, it shall happen. It's going to happen. And when you're baptized in his name for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But he doesn't stop there. He says, for that promise, the promise Joel spoke of, the promise Isaiah spoke of, the promise I'm speaking of right now this morning, he said, that promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm done. I'm here to tell somebody this morning. I want you to know. I'm here to let somebody know that you might have walked in here empty. You might have been here walking and running in here low. You might be like this cup and you just got a cup. Couple drips left in you, but I'm here to tell you that there's a God who made a way on this Pentecost Sunday. He said, I came that you may be filled, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I have come that my spirit would fall out upon all flesh. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care what's in your bank account. God's saying, I have come that all may receive my spirit. Let's all stand this morning in this place. God has already been here this morning. His spirit is here. It has been hovering in this place from the get-go. From choir practice, you could feel it in here. When they begin to sing about power, they begin to sing about power in practice. And I tell you what happened was the power entered this room. Yeah. That same power. You say, what's that power? It's that power. It's the power that washes you clean when his name's spoken over you. When you go down in the waters of baptism and you come back up and you're clean. You go down empty. But the promise is that when I'm baptized in his name, the promise is I'm going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit begins to operate. That's the beauty of it. You say, well, men and brethren, what shall we do? This question was asked as well. They said, I see what's happening. I see what's going on. I see the Holy Ghost falling. What shall we do? What do we got to do? Well, listen, it's real simple this morning. You can't earn it. That's why it's called the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of his Spirit. But Peter says, repent. What's that? Lord,
I want to change my ways. Forgive me of what I've done. God, loosen me from those things, God, that I may turn around and begin to walk back towards where you are and what you have for me. Forgive me, God, of the direction I was going in. Repent is a military term which means about face. You turn around and go the other way. That's repentance. And to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, why are we baptized in the name of Jesus? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us to. It's one reason. And if we believe his word, then we understand that Peter shares this message. It says, be ye baptized. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the one who died for the sins is the only one who has the power to loosen you of the sins. And he said, and then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for that promise is unto you. I want you to point yourself and say, it's for me. It's for you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's for you. You know who it's for this morning? Every person outside of those doors. Every person you work with, every person you go to school with, your neighbor, all your family, it's for them. I'm so thankful that we serve a God who said, I'm not going to leave anybody out. He said, I'm not just going to take this to one group of people and say it's only for you. Everyone else, I'm sorry about your luck. But God said, when I came for everybody. I came for all people. He said, I came for Jews and I came for Gentiles. He said, I came for everybody. It doesn't matter your background this morning. Some of you in this room, you might be sitting here and thinking, you know what? I've done too much. It can't be for me. I promise you that you have not done too much. You're not too far away from him. That God can't pour it out upon you today. In a minute, we're going to do an altar call. I'm going to ask everybody to come to the front. But here, I want to say this first. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I've already received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I've already spoken in tongues, received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I'll just leave. It's not for me. No. We need to be filled and overflowing. We need to be filled and overflowing. Why? Because this cup, if it was empty between now and next Sunday, it wouldn't do me any good if I carried it with me all week. If I was out in the sun and dealing with heat, it wouldn't do me any good. But if I could say, God, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Fill me again. Every day, God, pour it out again. Every day, your promise was that you would pour it out upon all flesh. God, I'm flesh, and my flesh needs an outpouring. So if you're in this place today, I want everybody to come up, and we're going to pray. And I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to pour out in this place. I want you to come with an expectation. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you have already received that gift, but maybe it's been a minute. I want you to come with the mindset today that, God, I want a refilling today. God, I want to be overflowing, Lord, that when I leave this place, it's to the brim. God, that when I go out to the restaurant when I leave here, God, and that waitress comes up, begins to talk to me, that overflow begins to splash out. And she says, there's something different about these people. What is it that you have? What is it? What is it that's on you? What is it that's overflowing on you? I feel something. And they're going to say, listen, what do I have to do to have what you have? We got to be full of it. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. If you're here this morning, I'm not to point anybody out. Not to point anybody out. But if you're here this morning and you say, I've I've heard of the Holy Ghost. I've heard of speaking in that heavenly language, but I've never done that for myself. It's nothing to be embarrassed of. Will you just lift your hand up if you say, I would like to have that today. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost today. If you're here and say, it's been a minute, and I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost, will you lift your hand up today? Thank you for your honesty. If you're here and say, you know what? It was about a half an hour ago before you started preaching, but I want more. Will you lift your hand in this place today? I want us to do this. I was praying with somebody down in Middleport on Thursday. God did just a great encounter down there, Brother Matt, on Thursday with a young couple. We got to pray with her. I told that young lady, I said, I want you to do something. I said, do you trust me? First time she ever met me. She kind of just looked at me. I said, you don't know me, I know. And Brother Matt spoke up. He said, it's our pastor. And I said, I've been speaking to you for a minute. Do you trust you? She said, I do. I said, well, you lift your hands because it's a sign of surrender. I said, if I pointed a gun at you right now, what would you do? I said, you put your hands up. I said, I'm not pointing a gun at you. I'm not asking you to surrender to me. I'm asking you to surrender to him. Amen. And that's what I want to ask everybody in this room today. There are things, the Lord spoke earlier in that tongues interpretation. There are things in your flesh that has gotten in your way. And there are people in this room that when you go to your prayer closet, when you go to pray, you're struggling to pray. And you're struggling to get to that place where the Holy Ghost is flowing out of you. You're struggling to speak in tongues at home. You're struggling to do that. Because those feelings, those thoughts are getting in the way. I want you to do this morning. I want everyone in this room just to lift your hands in a sign of surrender unto him. And the Lord is going to pour out his spirit in this place. He's going to pour out his spirit in this place. And here's what I want us to do. This is kind of different. This is what they do, the Crusades. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to shout out as loud as you can, hallelujah, the highest praise. And when you do that, if you've got the Holy Ghost, I want you to just begin to let it flow out of you. If you don't yet, I want you, if you feel something, I want you to just begin to let that go. That's the Holy Ghost going to be operating through you. Are you ready? Are you prepared for it? Are you ready? I want you just to put everything to the side right now. You're surrendering everything right now for a Pentecostal experience right now. The count of three, you just shout hallelujah. One, two, three. Hallelujah! Come on, let that flow right now in this place.